Hello out there and welcome. My name is Sharon Froschen. I am the Chief Operating Officer of the Discover Your Path You platform, where we believe that every life can teach and everyone can grow. To that end, I'm also the host of this show, The Connection Sessions, where we bring together practitioners, artists, entrepreneurs, marketers, spiritualists, mentors, and students in an effort to create community, connect to community, learn from each other, and grow. Today, I have with me a real treat for you guys. This is a longtime friend of mine, Haley Weasel, who I have absolutely loved getting to know. She's one of those people that just has a huge, beautiful heart. She's a yoga instructor. She's a life coach. She's also an NLP practitioner. And she's someone who's taken a really powerful hero's journey from that state of darkness into light and works with her clients and with other people to help them own that journey in themselves and in the world around them. So Haley, my love, namaste. Thank you so much for being with me here today. Good morning. If you wouldn't mind telling us just a little bit about yourself and how you got to life coaching.
Yeah, well, okay. First of all, I'm very excited to be here and I'm very honored to be chosen and invited by you. So my story, it started a little sad, but it ended very, very happy. Yeah, happy ending. Well, it's not the ending. It's still going and going. So I came from a background of a really kind of sad childhood. I couldn't get my basic needs of love, belonging, guidance. I grew up in poverty, neglected and abused. And as a result, I think I've suffered from depression, anxiety, a lot of mental issues for many, many years, basically until about 2.5-3 years ago. That was when my transformation happened unexpectedly. It was right when I was ready to give up everything. I was like right after my divorce process, I found myself here in a foreign country because obviously I'm not from I don't know if you can tell. Just a little, yeah. So I found myself here alone with no family, no friends. I used to be very introverted. No relationship skills, no social skills with depression, anxiety, PTSD, OCD, ADHD, all the letters. And I had two little babies, you know, when I got divorced 3 years ago, and I had no job, no career, no education. I was in a terrible place and I was ready to just give up. I got into addictions at the end, and it was like the end, you know. I know that you can relate because you're on a dark place. And maybe that's what we need in order to bloom, you know.
Yes. I love those posts on Facebook that talk about when you find yourself in a situation where you feel buried, perhaps you've been planted in bloom. That's so powerful.
Quotes. Yes. Yes. Very true.
And isn't it interesting that, and I've had previous interviews on this before, but I'm super excited to get to talk to you and get your perspective on it. How does actually embracing that darkness help us grow? How did turning around and facing those things that drove you to addiction and drove you into a depression, that past, that horrible childhood, how did facing that and embracing that help you find your way into the light?
I think it's the place of desperation.
Yes.
When I got there personally, I started developing something that I never had until then. And I think it was curiosity. Curiosity of what's on the other side. You know, how did I even get here? Why? Why I'm so miserable and some other people are so happy? What's the difference? I knew that it can't be background difference because we all know about people that do come from poverty or abuse and they are happy. So it's possible. And we know about the opposite. We know about people that come from rich, successful families and they are miserable and alcoholic and addicted. So I was really curious, like, where does it come from? The misery, the suffering. And that was the beginning of my journey to just explore. I think that I started to know a little bit about mindfulness, a little bit about religions, Buddhism. Mm-hmm. And it took me really quickly into psychology, NLP, the way the mind works, thinking patterns, shifting of paradigm. And I decided back then that that's my goal, to shift my paradigm from a negative mindset to a positive mindset. That was my goal. And when I achieved it, I realized that I'm just happy.
That's so powerful, because when you talk about it being you acknowledging that I need to shift my paradigm, what you're really saying is that it's me. It's not the world around me. It's a current set of belief systems that I hold that keep me seeing the same things over and over again. And I've written a lot of posts on my own personal page where I talk about how beliefs are kind of like the beam of a flashlight in a dark room, in that you can't see anything outside of that beam. You can only see what's in the beam. And a belief kind of functions like that in our life, in that we only see what that belief allows. We don't see all of the proof for the other stuff that we may not necessarily believe right now that might actually help us. So if you wouldn't mind sharing with the viewers, what is a paradigm and how do you go about shifting it?
Okay, so a paradigm is another word for thinking pattern. Mm-hmm. We all have thinking patterns, which is thoughts that we have in our mind, and they're repeating every day again and again, like a broken record. Dr. Joe Dispenza talks about it a lot. He says that I think 95 or 97 of our thoughts every single day are the same exact thoughts that we had yesterday. Because it's a pattern.
It is.
And when we have this pattern, we have emotions as a result.
Yeah.
And every day we have the same thoughts. So as a result, every day we have the same emotions. And only when we learn to change the thoughts to make them positive or make them different or be aware of them and control them, this is when we can control our emotions.
That's so true. And another thing that he talks about is how, so we will go to work the same exact way. We will eat the same foods. We will talk to the same people. We will go to the same stores. We will cook the same way. I mean, when you're an adult, it's pretty much a guarantee that you're going to have a favorite spatula. You know, it's all these things that we do the exact same way. And because of that, we continue to have those same thoughts. And he talks about how when you begin to go out and search out new experiences, it makes room for those new thoughts, right? So when you have a client that, and I know that you and I kind of share the same client pool, and that we both focus a lot on darkness and embracing the darkness and moving into the light. When you have a client who's like super duper focused on the darkness and is just like, give me more darkness, what are some of the techniques that you might ask them to change? Like maybe going and walking in a park, or maybe watching a different TV show that helps them to start to have new thoughts and change their experience.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that when people have these dark thoughts, it's really unconscious, and it's not our fault. It's not our fault that we get there, because this is the disease of the society. That's what we've been taught. Nobody teaches us anything else. And it's always funny to me how we go to school for so many years and we learn so many things, but nobody ever teaches us how to handle emotions, how to feel anger, disappointment, regret, failure, how to live life, how to be happy, how to be positive. Nobody ever talk about that. And so these kind of people, they really don't know. So what I do with them is I start talking to them about the concept of don't believe everything that you think.
Because yes,
I know that when I was there in this dark place, I believed everything I thought. I thought that I'm miserable, a victim, I'll never find happiness. And I believed all of that. I really believed it religiously. So when I start challenging my beliefs and think that, wait a moment, maybe it's not true that I'm worthless. Maybe I do have some worth. Maybe it's not true that nobody loves me. Maybe some people do love me. That was when I started seeing the truth and not believing every thought that I had.
That's powerful. And another thing that's really powerful about this conversation is that you're not even originally from America. You're originally from Israel in the Middle East. And you're saying and describing the same social programming from your country that we receive from ours. And so it gives the view to the viewer that this isn't something that's specific to any given country. All of us are growing up without the necessary tool giving, where you're being taught, hey, if you're angry, go get a wiffle ball bat and beat the crap out of your bed until you cry and you get it out of your system. If you're sad, talk about it. If you're happy, go out and laugh hysterically until you come back to center, you know, but we really don't get that at all, do we?
Right. And I think that this is where people start to develop addictions, because they have so many trapped emotions and suppressed emotions that they just need to escape it. So they go to alcohol, drugs, even overeating, emotional eating, reality TV, anything. Just get me out of this reality.
Yeah, get me out of my body. Get me to an altered state where I don't have to feel what's trying to be felt.
Yeah.
And it's so funny how I know that Beth Gray, who's a embraining practitioner, talks about how the actual energetic signature of an emotion, when allowed to express itself, only lasts about 90 seconds in the body. But then what we do is we fight it so hard that those 90 seconds where it would be like, boop, gone, we've got it like 6 months later, still coddling it and talking to it and holding it close to our hearts. And then we wonder why we arrive at depression.
Right. So true.
So how are some of the ways that you help your own clients when you notice that they're doing that same pattern that we all do? It's not right, wrong, or good or bad. It's just as human beings, we do it. How do you help them to get to that place of hope where if you'll just let that emotion have its say, it will pass through you?
Yeah. So I personally believe that there are two different dimensions to come to emotional balance. One is the things that we do, the actions that we do. It's really important to exercise every day, to eat healthy, to get enough sleep, to meditate, to learn how to breathe. You know, those simple things that we don't do. Everybody knows they need to go to bed on time, but stay late and stay late. And then the morning after, they wake up cranky. And it's like, we know we need to do it. So to do the things that we know we need to do. This is one aspect. And the other aspect, I believe, is working on the mindset and stop believing everything that we think and releasing limiting beliefs. Developing a positive mindset that it's something that we all can do, no matter what kind of traumas we've been through.
Yes.
It's just a process, and sometimes we need somebody to help. It's definitely possible to do it by ourselves. We did it by ourselves, right? You did it by yourself. I did it by myself. But it takes a lot of desperation and a lot of suffering.
It really does.
To get help.
It is. And most of you, to the viewers who have never met Haley, if you've ever spent any time around Haley, Haley is a vegan. She is a yoga instructor. She's extremely physically fit. She's very self-possessed. She has this aura of intensity around her. But what you're seeing is after all the work that she's done. And what we as a society tend to do is we'll look at somebody like Haley and we'll say, well, I could never be like that. Well, duh, of course you're not going to be like that tomorrow. That's it. That's not the way that works. What you see in Haley is a month after month after month of taking daily positive action, small little baby steps that she could manage towards reaching the goal of who she has become. So Haley, when you work with a client who may look at you just that same way, like, well, holy crap, how the hell am I ever going to be like that? How do you help them find that hope that exists in baby steps?
That's a good question. You know, finding the hope, this is the key. This is the key, because people that have no hope, I can't even work with them. I can't, you know, they have to have the hope and knowing that there is a way out and it's possible.
Yes. There's a scripture in the Old Testament of the Bible that says that where there is no hope, my people perish. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the Hebrew prophets talking about the children of Israel as they're wandering and have lost hope and have lost the ability to find, you know, anything to look forward to. And it's so true that when we as individuals surrender to the idea that this is it, there's nothing better, there's no chance for it to improve, that we almost settle into that death state of, well, no point trying. And I know that when I got sober, like, my bottom wasn't that I didn't have a home. It wasn't that I didn't have any friends or family that wanted to be around me. It wasn't that I didn't have any money, that I had no possessions. It was this one moment in a bathroom mirror where I looked into the mirror at this really brief moment of clarity where I was really present. I looked into this bathroom mirror, into my eyes, and for the first time in almost a decade, I really saw myself. And what I saw was that there was no soul in my eyes anymore. Whatever it was that had made me human, whatever it was that had made me able to connect to other people, to genuinely give and receive love, was currently absent. And that experience terrified me so badly that I was willing to do anything. And I think that's that desperation that you're talking about. So when you encounter a client who's desperate, how do you help them turn that into hope? How do you use like NLP or even changing small habits like the way they eat or exercising every day to start to get that physiological experience of change and hope?
Yeah. So I think the first thing they have to do is to change the perspective and look at the bigger picture. When we look at our own problems, our own, we're so little victims and this is our destiny. It's just no way out. There's no way out. It's so dark in there. But when we look bigger, I mean, look at the entire world. How many millions of people are out there? Yeah. What's their lives are like? They all have suffering. It's not only me. We all tend to believe that my problems are the biggest, are the worst. I'm the most miserable person on planet Earth. Nobody can understand me, you know? And only when we step out of that perspective and we're able to see the bigger perspective, this is when things are starting to shift.
That's so true.
Yeah, and I think that it's also the hope that we were talking about. I think I personally like to give it another name. I call it faith. And you know, I'm not talking about faith in God. Mm-hmm. It can be faith in anything. It can be faith in God. It can be faith in the universe. It can be faith in myself, that I am the creator of my life. And it can be faith in the energies and the laws of the universe. I personally have faith in energies and in myself. And I know that if I set the right positive energies out there, I'll get good energies in return. So it's faith in me and in my energies and my vibes. If we don't have the faith and we believe that somebody else decided that this is our destiny and there's nothing we can do, we have zero control. We're victims. And from this place, we can't get out.
That's so true. There's a passage in another religious book that I really enjoy that says that faith without works is dead. And I've always believed that the opposite is true as well. There's no way that you are actually going to start doing the works, making the behavioral changes necessary for you to have a different experience if you don't have faith and hope. Because why would I? I'm just basically rearranging chairs on the Titanic at that point. So as a practitioner, What is it that you bring into a session with your clients of you, the one that has experienced the darkness, the one that has faced the pain, the one that has, you know, risen up out of the ashes of that former life, those former belief systems, to come out shining and intense as you are? How do you bring that into a client's life?
I think the very beginning is simple education.
Yeah.
Simple education. How do I create a good day? You know, if I wake up in the morning and my thoughts are negative and my perspective is negative and my expectations are negative, how come I expect to have a good day?
Right.
So first it's like understanding how things work. And it's like education that unfortunately we don't have because nobody taught us. Yeah. But I think Tony Robbins talks about it and some other people do. The attitude and the energies that we put out there, this is exactly what we get back.
That's so true. I kind of like to describe a life coach as an instruction manual. So here you are, a human being, and we're put through society as a young child and we're programmed with all of these things, but we're basically programmed with everything except what we need to understand ourselves, right? So I kind of look at a life coach as being handed an instruction manual, because here comes this person that's going to sit down with you and really just bring you back to the common sense of, hey, you need to eat right. You need to exercise. You need to wash your butt every once in a while. You need to go to work. You need to try. And when you're feeling anger, let that anger out. Don't try and pent it up. You know, if you've had pain in the past, let's look at that pain from a safe place and deal with it. And all of this is stuff that I remember when I went through high school, because I'm significantly older than you, Haley. But when I went through high school, this still was, there was still a little bit of a trace of this that was taught in high school. There's zero trace of it now, but there was a little bit of it when I was growing up. There was still home ec. They still taught you how to cook for yourself. They still taught you how to do basic projects. They taught you how to work in shop. They gave you communication classes where you learned how to talk to other people. But to a generation right now that literally has none of this, like none of that goes on in schools, and you see this generation of just wildly angry children coming out of high school who are just violent and hopeless and depressed
and anxious, and they don't have a clue what to do.
They don't. Yes. They really don't. And each generation lets go of more and more of their power. So why look to the last generation? Because the last generation is just nominally more powerful than you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I believe we're going to have some changes, don't you?
I can feel it.
I feel it in the air.
Right. It's
like all the mindfulness. I don't know if it's only what I see because I'm surrounded by these kind of people. I don't know if it's really there, but it seems like it's getting trendy.
It is. And I think part of it is arising from the fact that more and more people are understanding the power of gratitude.
Yes.
They're understanding the power of expressing thanks for what we have, because happiness isn't always having what you want. It's actually wanting what you already have. It's being present with what you have and holding it up and expressing gratitude for it and being like, wow, this is awesome. And that energy is magnetic, right? It draws that back into our lives, doesn't it?
Yes, so much. It's like, what are you attracted to a person that is complaining or to a person that is happy?
Right. We're all attracted to that happiness. And speaking of which, thank you so much for being on the show with me today. We have actually reached the end of the half hour, which happened so fast to me.
So quickly.
I can't think of anybody that I would rather highlight more than you. Lord knows you have caught me more than once in a session, sometimes impromptu, and completely changed my mindset and got me to see things differently right when I really needed it. So if you are watching this and you are in a dark place, and I think that if you are, you know exactly the dark place that I'm talking about. If you have lost hope, if you have given up, if your heart is heavy and you can't seem to find anything to look forward to tomorrow, all of Haley's contact information is in this live. Her website, her Facebook page, her personal profile is tagged. Reach out to this woman. Give her a chance to come and show you that there is actually the possibility of change in an upwardly mobile direction, where there might be a day, and it's not going to be tomorrow, nobody's going to lie to you, but there might be a day in the future when you actually wake up in the morning and are grateful to be alive. So if that's you, and if what I just said hit home, and you know when stuff hits home, guys, I know you do, reach out to Haley and get yourself some help. To those who are watching, to Thomas Waterman, what up, Tom? To Monique, to Andrea, to Becky Stokes, it's always wonderful to have viewers with us. If you come by and you catch this live after we're no longer live, drop us a hashtag replay. Let us know that you were here. Haley's going to be checking out the comments, and that's a great place to get a chance to interact with her, to talk to her, and to connect with her. So guys, thank you so much for being with me here today and for watching. Haley, namaste, my love. Thank you for coming, spending time. Yes, so good to see you. And everyone else, you know that we will be back here tomorrow, same place, same time, guys. And as always, you know I love you. We'll see you later. Bye, guys.